All right, we are at the end of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm sure there are other ways to title it. I'm doing the best I can, trying to put it in some categories, but we're doing three sections in chapter 4. We had the gift of wisdom, and we did that in the first section, and then last Sunday night, 10 through 19, we did the guidance of wisdom. And then tonight, the guarding of wisdom will be our heading as we deal with these last verses. As a side note, I'm not going to pursue it, but just for your historical reference, John Flavel is a great Puritan. He was converted by verse 23. That's the verse that brought him under conviction, brought him to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. All right, let's read the text first, Proverbs 4, verse 20 through the end of the chapter. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. All right, we'll go through these, and we will save verse 22 for the end. So we'll skip verse 22. There's, I think, 2 points to the sermon, and so the second point we will end with verse 22. In the sense of introduction, because we're dealing with guarding, let me set this before you, kind of maybe get your brain percolating tonight. But I would say it's very common, it's familiar in our society to guard things that we value. It's kind of become habitual things we do to guard stuff. People lock the doors to their house. I really don't understand why, but what I do and you do is two different things. But people lock the doors to their house. It's fascinating to me that people lock their cars. They can't even walk from the car to the door without locking their car. I'm not sure why, but I guess they value their car. They put a chain on certain things on their property to hopefully keep their stuff there. People have passcodes on their computer or on their phone. I don't know why. You can get my phone and use it. I don't have a passcode. I don't even know how to make one. That type of stuff. Passcodes on the computer, their phone. And they have a safe in their house, and then they have to put a code on their safe. So you lock your door and lock your safe, and then you get a ring thing to watch your house that's locked, that's locking your safe. Right? This all makes sense, right? Okay. Then on top of all of the locking, then they hide stuff. It's always under the bed, right? You know, whatever. Under the bed. They put money in the bank. They get insurance on their stuff and all types of security stuff for their house. And then they spend money to service to, you know, monitor their stuff. My simple point is we do all this stuff because we want to keep our stuff because it has some value to us, right? Okay, all right. So I don't think that's a major point, but I think we should get it. So the question tonight then becomes this. Well, what amount of effort do you put forward to guard wisdom? I mean, what do you do? What are you doing to make sure wisdom is guarded? Have you ever thought, I need to guard wisdom? Because if I don't guard it, I might lose it. If it's valuable, I don't want to lose it. Do you have a plan right now for how to guard wisdom? Why does wisdom need to be guarded? It could be taken. It could be lost. That's why it needs to be guarded. If you don't guard wisdom, quite simply, you'll lose it. Just because you were wise last year doesn't mean you're wise this year. Just because I was wise this morning, I could be a fool tonight. You have to think those things through. When wisdom is lost, it's got lots of effects. So if we lose wisdom, we become fools for sure. But if we lose it, it's going to affect my ear. If I lose wisdom, it's going to affect my eyeball. If I lose wisdom, it's going to affect my heart. If I lose wisdom, it's going to affect my mouth. If I lose wisdom, it's going to affect the path that my feet trod. Show me a man who will not listen to truth, whose eyes are turned towards carnality, who loves the world, who speaks of worldly things, and who flows in the direction of his culture, and I'll show you a fool, not a wise person. Wisdom can be lost, and apparently a lot of people have lost it. Thesis tonight, the thing that men guard is the thing that is very valuable to them. That's all I'm saying with all of that. What you value, you guard. Do you value what's here? Or if we say wisdom is personified in Christ, do you value Christ enough to guard him? Guard him in your life that you wouldn't lose him, if you will. Point number one, five areas that must be guarded. Five areas. Number one, the ear is to be attentive and the ear is to be inclined. This is verse 20. In the ESV, you'll see those two words, attentive and inclined. Now, there are people, the ears work two ways, wickedness or wisdom, but there are people who like to listen to wickedness. Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Some people can't seem to get enough of the wicked speech that's in the world, and they take it in through the ear. Or Proverbs 29:12, if a ruler listens to falsehood, all of his officials will be wicked. What goes in the ear affects the life of the person. We need to be cautious, be attentive. What does my ear like to receive? It's very important to listen. Now, on a more positive note, Isaiah 48:18. Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments. God spoke, right? God gave it in writing for us in the English language to read. And so, oh, that you would pay attention to what I've commanded in this book. Then, if we would pay attention, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. It's constantly flowing. Or let's do it this way in Proverbs. Proverbs 5:1, just a little bit next chapter. We'll see it next week or so. My son, be attentive to wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Proverbs 7:24. Now, O sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Now, I know I'm just reading some scriptures, but the scripture's true. It's telling us the same truth that we need to listen. We need to guard our ears. Now, let's go a little bit deeper and let's investigate at least a little bit the Hebrew words for listen and pay attention. So the Hebrew word for incline has to do with inclining the ear of men. You say, well, you just said the same thing twice. Inclination has to do with obedience. Obedience to God. The person who has an ear that's inclined to the words of God is a person who's prone to obey what God's word says. That's to be inclined. You see, people come to church all the time. They hear something preached, something taught, but they don't obey anything that's said. They're not inclined. If you want to be wise, you've got to guard your ear. I mean, come to church with an ear that's inclined, that when I hear truth that even goes counter to my flesh, I want to obey that truth because that's the very heart of wisdom. And if I don't guard that, then I lose it. I lose it. To incline the ear is to be turned. To be turned as a result of what is heard. I was walking this way, God's word spoke to me, and I turned. That's what the inclination is. I'm inclined to turn wherever truth corrects me. It's not true, but me and my wife are not getting along. We don't talk. We've grown apart. We just don't seem to communicate very well anymore. We're becoming empty nesters, you see, and we just don't even know who each other is because we just had our whole lives invested in our kids. Now the kids are gone, and we're just staring at each other because we don't know what to do, and I'm just not happy anymore. And so I write down, God just wants me to be happy. Right? I mean, people do this. And so, you know, it's like, I mean, well, maybe it's time that we separate. But then the word comes and says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. If I'm inclined, I turn away from my selfish fleshly feelings and say, God's true and right, and so I need to figure out how to love my wife because that's what God's word says. Inclined. There are consequences to not inclining the ear. If I'm not a person who's inclined or turnable by what we hear, if I'm not that, there's consequences. Proverbs 5 again. I know it's the next chapter, but it's helpful. Proverbs 5:13. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers. I didn't incline my ear to my instructors. And now I'm on the brink of utter ruin in the assembly of the congregation. I'm in church. I'm in the congregation, but I'm almost ruined. Because I wouldn't listen. I wasn't inclined. Isaiah 55:3 tells us a benefit to being inclined. Here's the benefit in Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear, come to me, hear that your soul may live. And I'll make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. If you would just listen, and you would just come, and you'd be turned by truth, we can have an eternal covenant and walk together for all of eternity. There's benefits. And then I stumbled in my reading in Exodus across this word. In Exodus, some chapter and some verse, I stumbled across this. Exodus 9. In the seventh plague, he's going to bring hail down. And if you don't put your cow in the barn, it's going to get killed. If you don't get yourself in the house, you're going to die. This hail that's coming is unlike you've ever seen before, and it's going to be bad. If you're outside without a helmet, you're in a bad shape, right? So in Exodus 9, verse 20, so that's the word, hail's coming, going to rain down from heaven. Verse 20, whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, the pagans. They feared what was said. He hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. Even the pagans in that story were inclined, at least at that moment, to turn. I don't know what all this hell means, but I ain't leaving my cattle outside because they're all going to die. But in verse 21, whoever did not pay attention to the word. They weren't inclined. They weren't inclined to the word of the Lord. They left their slaves and their livestock in the field. The hail came and utter destruction. We need to guard wisdom. I need to make sure my ears are working right. I want to hear the word of truth and be turned. I want to be teachable. I want to be moldable. When I come to church, when I come to my morning Bible readings, when I come before wisdom, I want ears that have a moldability to them that I can be turned to be in line with what God's word says. If I don't guard that, I lose it. And here's what happens. It happens here all the time. The preacher just becomes a resounding gong. He just talks, and we just go home, and nothing ever happens. Maybe your ear's not inclined. Maybe you're losing wisdom because you're not guarding it. Maybe you should change up your ruling. Maybe you should change up your policy. Maybe you should wake up on Sunday mornings and you should say, God, give me an inclining ear. Help me to hear rightly that I can be wise. God, whatever is said from your word today, let it shape my life and conform me to your son. I don't ever want to lose that, God. I come to church today teachable and moldable. Make me look like Christ. Guard that. Because if you don't, you lose it. Number two, the eye is to be on the word and focused on the narrow path. Look at verse 21, A, the first part. Let them not escape from your sight. You see verse 21, let them. Who's the them? The them is in 20, my words and my sayings. Let them, words and sayings, not escape from my eyeballs. And then go down to verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. If you want to paraphrase it, give me singular vision. Now, this Hebrew word for not letting them depart, not letting your eyes depart, strictly speaking, let your eyes not practice or exhibit deviation. I don't want my eyes to deviate from this book. I understand you don't sit in your life and go 7 days a week, 24 hours a day reading the Bible. But in a very real sense, this is where my focus is. I'm processing daily life. I'm working on a computer. I'm working on a car. I'm running some pipes. I'm doing my job. I'm cleaning my house. I'm dusting this. I'm washing this. But there's this sense in which I'm doing all of life with a focus of my eyes upon the truth of Scripture in order that I know how to live for the glory of God. I want to keep my eyes focused here. I don't want to get distracted by all this stuff that's going around me. Look, I'm not going to waste my life looking at Facebook. I'm not doing it. It's too distracting. Maybe I'm weak. Maybe I'm just a pathetic Christian. But to look at all this nonsense of social media just wrecks my brain and my heart. So forget that. I just won't ever have it. I want to keep my focus here because I don't want to lose wisdom. It's a battle, but I have to guard it. And me, we're not the same. But for me, all of that stuff is a distraction. Maybe it's not a distraction for you. You have to answer to God. But for me, it's a distraction. And I'm like, I can solve this. I'm going to guard wisdom. Cut it all, and I'm going to put my attention here. In the morning, God gives me tomorrow, I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I know it's going to happen. I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I will not be distracted by any computer device. I won't be distracted by the TV. I guarantee you, it ain't on. And I get up in the morning, I'm going to get a cup of coffee, I'm going to get 3 scrambled eggs, I'm going to sit at my desk, and I'm going to open this book, and I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to keep my focus. I'm going to keep my eyes here. Why? Because if I don't stay here, I'm going to become a fool. I got to guard wisdom. Singular vision, focus. The Hebrew implies, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Even with the suggestion of squinting the eyelids to be able to see. You need a graphic image? If you're a deer hunter, I watch the deer back here in this pasture, and sometimes I'm squinting, trying to figure out if it's a buck or doe back here in this field. And I'm trying to see. Do that to the things that have been written for you in the English language in this thing called the Bible. I'm not meddling. I say the truth. Fix your eyes on the memory verse. How do you, Pastor, do you have the gift of memory? No, there is no gift of memory. It's just called work. I just take a piece of paper, I put it over my Bible, and it says, now may the God of peace. And I move the paper down, now may the God of peace. And I put it back up there, now may the God of peace. Our Lord Jesus. I just keep doing that until I know it. 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. Let's do it every day. I just keep putting my eyes right there where I'm not distracted by anything else. And we come along in the month, and about 4 days or 5 days into the month, I know the verse. Why? Because my eyes are here, and I've got to guard that or I'll lose it, and I won't even have the memory verse, and I can't use it. So you have to fix your eyes on it. Squint your eyelids to make sure you don't miss a word. I'll never forget one of my New Testament theology seminary professors. Most embarrassing day of my life. That guy could quote, I think, the whole New Testament. He's dead and gone on now, but he called out all these verses. He said, Romans 10:17. I raised my hand, volunteered. I know that verse. I'm ready. So he go around. I'm not even going to open my Bible. I'm going to show off in class. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. Dead silence. Young man, does it say words or word? I missed one letter. I'm like, but he knew the book. I missed one letter, and he saw it. I was so humbled by that, man. I was like, I'm not as smart as I thought I was. And so they're saying, squint your eyelids. I don't want to miss a word. I don't want to miss a letter. May the eyes have laser focus and cause the truth of the word to be written on my heart. Ear, eye. Then the heart. Look at verse 21 again, the second part. Keep them, the them, words and sayings, keep them within your heart. Verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The heart above all. Now, out of these five, this one is the centerpiece. It affects the other four. To keep, retain, store, treasure up, memory. The them is the words of the sayings. You cannot keep that which you don't know. You cannot keep that which you do not know. In order to guard wisdom, then I must seek to know, and when I know something, I've got to work to keep that knowledge in order that I don't lose it. Verse 23, keep it with all vigilance. You want a picture to work in your mind? Imagine soldiers walking up and down the wall throughout the day and the night, keeping their eye for approaching enemies on the castle wall. Looking, 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 looking. Vigilance, back and forth, back and forth. Shadow, something moved. What's that? Very, very attentive. I don't want something to cause a calamity or a impurity to get in my heart. Idle minds make filthy hearts. I got to guard this thing with vigilance. Enemies lurk everywhere to invade your heart, to corrupt it. It must be protected from impurities. Billboards, phones, iPads, computers, televisions, all these things that go on in our world, all these things trying to get in my heart and cloud it and make it impure. I have to fight against that every day as a Christian man. I have to fight, or all the impurities take over possession of me, and when they do, they'll come out. So I have to fight. He's like, I became a Christian and now I'm on Easy Street. No, I became a Christian and now I'm in a war. And I'm fighting to preserve my heart from this culture that I have to live in. It's evil and wicked and immoral, and it's trying to take my life. It's a fight every day. If you need that lived out and you want to make your time worth your while, read John Bunyan's The War for Man's Soul. Read that book and change your life. You got to guard the heart. An impure heart, why? Because it affects everything. An impure heart causes the ears to be dull, causes the eyes to be foggy, makes the talk smutty, and causes the feet to wander into filth. I gotta keep the heart. It affects everything about me. Example, if you have a reservoir, this is the way the world works. I'll give you the world and then I'll give you wisdom. If you have a reservoir, holds water, drinking water for a community, and the water is impure, you know what the world does? They come up with a whole philosophy about how to change the pipes and put in new pipes. Changing the pipes is not going to help. You can put in brand new pipes, but as long as the reservoir is impure, it's just going to let impure water flow through the new pipes. We've got to do something with the reservoir. It's got to be clean. It's got to be pure. For out of it will flow then to what the necessities are. We must start with the reservoir. The heart is to be kept with all vigilance. Why? Because the whole of your life flows from here. In the, it's funny, in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, they use the word Exodus. You know, the Exodus and the Pentateuch there, the people are led out of Egypt, the Exodus. They use the word Exodus to come out. Whatever's in here comes out in action and words, demeanors, all of those things. Whatever's on the inside makes a Exodus, right? All right, if you don't like it that way, we'll just say it like Jesus said it in Luke 6:45. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. Thank you. Good. An evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces. For why? It's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if this isn't guarded, it will be exposed when you talk. It'll be exposed. If the glass is full, it's not quite full, but if the glass is full and I knock it down here on the floor, what's going to get on the floor? Water. Whatever's in here is going to come out. Maybe you have a difficult situation. Whatever happens, whatever it's going to take, it's going to bring out what's there. An unguarded heart gathers impurities. They'll come out. You know where they come out at most frequently? In your marriage. That's where they come out. I don't know why. They come out with the people you love the most. They come out, you know where they come out? With your kids, because they irritate you, and they get on your nerves, and then you say stuff, and it's like, man. And it come out, these impurities come out at work when you have a bad boss. You know where else these impurities come out? They come out when you drive in Azle. The traffic. Go to Mexico City. You ain't seen traffic. But anyways, in all those times, that's where it comes out. So, but when the heart is guarded, I'm telling you, when you guard the heart, then you'll find in all of those areas that it's also possible that in those tense moments, good can come out. If it's in here, it will. The mouth, verse 24. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Crooked or perverse speech, put it away. Proverbs 6:12, a worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. Proverbs 19:1, better is a poor person who walks in integrity than in who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Crooked refers to what is morally twisted or perverted. In some translation notes, the term mouth functions as a metonym of cause for perverse speech. Such perverse talking could be subtle or blatant. The word devious implies the departure from one thing to another. In context, it must mean talk that departs from the truth to carnal things. You know, there was a time, there was people like Mark Driscoll who were making a push that it was okay to curse from the pulpit. I mean, you really want to build a case to justify cursing from the pulpit? I mean, how about like the whole world without an IQ knows that cursing is wrong and they censor it even on pagan TV at times? Everybody knows this is perverse talk and you're trying to clarify how we can do it from the pulpit? Why don't you just get out of the pulpit and forget your ministry? Because men of God, Christians, ought to speak that which aligns with truth. That which honors Christ. I'm not trying to figure out how I can use a curse word in my sermon for a shock effect for you. I'm not even thinking about curse words except that I'm dealing with this text, but it's like curse words, immoral talk, immoral gesturing about the opposite sex, that's off the table for the Christian. I want to guard my mouth. I want to use my mouth to beat down. I don't want to use my mouth to be immoral. I don't want to use my mouth in order to somehow blend in with the world. I want to walk through Vanity Fair and have the speech that betrays me that I'm not a part of Vanity Fair. Then you have Jesus. Words ought to mean something. People say a lot of things. Jesus is so clear. Here's an idea. Why don't you just let your yes be yes and your no be no? Why don't you just do that? Because anything more from this comes evil. Just speak the truth. Or James 5:12, above all, my brothers, don't swear by heaven or by earth, by any other oath. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. These political people drive you insane. Lastly, number 5, the feet symbolize the direction of a man's life. Verse 26, verse 27, ponder the path of your feet. Don't swerve to the right or the left. And your ways will be sure, and then you'll turn your foot away from evil. To ponder, to watch the path of your feet, is to make the path of your feet level. If you want a loose translation, keep a watch on your behavior. Let all your ways be rightly ordered. Or Isaiah says this, the path of the righteous is level. It's level. The path of the righteous is level. Isaiah 26:7. You make level the way of the righteous. This is a figurative language for living righteously. The purpose of the result, or the purpose of the result, is to live a moral life. I want to guard my life. I don't want to live a life that's suspect of immorality. These weird articles come up sometimes. This guy pastored a church for I don't know how many years. And you can't make this stuff up. The entire time he was pastoring, he was molesting his own 2 daughters. What in the world is going on in that church? It's finally exposed when the kids become adults and they report what their dad did to them. It turns into this big old mess. I'm like, this is not the righteous path. This is not the moral life. If you don't, can you imagine that if you don't guard your feet, that you could end up doing such a vile thing? I mean, think about it. There's people that actually get to that point. They didn't start there. They get there. Because they didn't guard their path of their feet. They didn't guard wisdom. Guard it that you don't swerve, that you don't turn. Both these words are related. First word means don't turn to the side. The second word means don't cause to be turned to the side. Don't swerve is the negative. The positive is turn yourself from evil. Get away from it. That's the positive direction. And lastly, there's only 2 major points. This is the second one, and this is verse 22. There's 2 primary reasons for guarding wisdom. Go back to verse 22. This is why we guard these 5 areas. For they are life to those, talking about the words, the they is the words and the sayings. For they are life to those who find them, and their healing to all their flesh. The written words are life to those who find them. You cannot experience life as God intended, devoid of the wisdom that He has given. To live apart or in contradiction to the Word of God is existence, not life. Secondly, the written words are healing to the whole person. Let me give you a different slant on this. Physical well-being. So let me say it slowly. Physical well-being is the reality of the crippled man. Physical well-being is the reality of the lame man. Physical reality or physical well-being is the reality of the deaf, of the mute. According to Exodus, God's the one who makes them that way. Physical well-being for life is truly found in Christ. I submit to you 3. David Miller really lives in a wheelchair, moving a little stick, because that's all he can do. Preached his last sermon not long ago when I was on vacation up in Arkansas. Cut his sermon by 20 minutes because he couldn't generate enough air to get the words out because his health has deteriorated to that amount. You live your whole life having another man travel with you, changing your clothes for you, bathing you because you can't bathe yourself, wiping you because you can't wipe yourself. But I submit to you, David Miller lived in full health, in peace with Christ. I would say to you that Fanny Crosby, who was blind for 90 years, who had an infant die early on that wreaked havoc on her life to lose that child, she really lived. The words of wisdom were life to her. My dear friend, James Shawver, he had his hand like this. They wouldn't let him join the Freemasons because he was physically challenged. He said, "I'm not crippled. God made me this way." One of the most godly men I ever knew. I so loved him and loved his talks he would give me about marriage. He really lived with his hand just like this. Full health. I'd love to be as healthy as Mr. Shawver. I'd love to be as healthy as a David Miller. Whole health. Since wisdom is personified in Christ, it behooves the Christian to listen to Christ, to look to Christ, to have Christ as the priority of the heart, to speak often of Christ, and to imitate Christ. What will you actively do to guard your heart? What will you do to be attentive to the Word? What will you do to keep your focus singular? What will you do to be able to speak often about your Lord? What will you do to be able to imitate Christ? Paul said, I know you can check out and, yeah, okay, the sermon's over, let's move on. No, you need to ask yourself, I mean, are you going to do anything with this? Are you going to do anything? Are you going to think about any of these truths? Is tomorrow going to be a different level of guarding? Or is you just going to do the same thing tomorrow you do every Monday? Are you just going to keep going on and change nothing? Or tomorrow you're going to say, you know what, I've had enough of this. Wisdom is life, and I'm going to guard it with everything I have. And this is how I'm going to start. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody starting tomorrow? Anybody going to make a plan for how to guard these things? Maybe you start writing down a journal. Maybe you're going to start a different reading plan. Maybe you say, you know what? I've never memorized a verse. I'm going to start now. Something. Are you going to do anything with these truths? What's your response? Back to the beginning. And you get home tonight, you're going to push that button to lock your car because it's your treasure. Keys are in Joshua's car. Sorry, man, I never take them out, man. It's jump in the car and take off. It's just junk anyways, right? You're going to push the button, and then when you go in the house, you're going to turn the lock because the bad guy might get you while you're sleeping, right? Might take your stuff, right? You're going to turn your security system on. That way you'll be safe. You're going to guard your possessions. What are you going to do with this? What you going to do with this? Oh, Sunday's over. What are we going to do? We're going to do something? Are we going to guard? Guard this other stuff. As W.A. Criswell said, oh, don't worry about it. That's my throwing Bible. I close with this. Jeff Crago sent this to me. I don't know if he knew it fit, but it fits perfectly. I don't know Henry Smith, but this is a quote from Henry Smith, and we'll be done. Henry Smith says, quote, "By this thou shalt know whether thou hast given your heart to him or not. If the heart be gone," you've given it away, "everything else will follow. As the sun riseth first, and then the beasts arise from their dens, the fowls from their nest, and men from their beds, so when the heart sets forward to God, all the members will follow after it. The tongue will praise him. The foot will follow him. The ear will attend him. The eye will watch him. The hand will serve him. Nothing will stay after the heart, but everything goes." Give him your heart and guard it with all vigilance. For if not, you'll become a fool. Father in heaven, thank you for your word tonight. Forgive your goofy preacher for throwing the book tonight. God, I pray that we would take these things seriously and that we would evaluate our lives and take them into consideration how to live, how to guard, how to respond to truth. Lord, you told us in Proverbs 4 that wisdom is a gift. You told us that wisdom would guide our lives, and you have told us that we better guard it more than we guard anything else. Lord, help us to be serious about our faith. It doesn't mean we're like a bunch of monks in a monastery. Joy, laughter, praise, rejoicing, sure. But let us not take the wisdom you've given us lightly. May we be serious about what you've revealed to us. Lord, thank you for your church. I know it's Christmas season. I know it's that time of year when people do different things. And I pray that this week, in the 1 week we have left, I pray they maximize their time to make Christ known, to love their families, love their children, love their neighbors, point people to Christ, and that this week would be a great week of making much to do about the Savior that you sent and clothed in human flesh, and that we would cherish and relish and glory in such a wonderful and good Savior. As our memory verse says, He is the Good Shepherd. And let us learn to follow Him, listen to Him, and heed the wisdom He has given us. We pray these things by your Spirit, in Christ's name, amen.